Buckle up, folks. Is Mike Brown the most underrated mastermind in basketball, or just the latest victim chewed up by the NBA's relentless pressure machine? Hey, it's Vixie Steele, and I'm feeling fired up today. Look, we talk a lot about players, but coaches live on a razor's edge. One wrong headline, one sore hamstring, and suddenly they're the villain. Today, it's Mike Brown on the slab. Let's get into it. Here's a quick primer for anyone living under a rock. Mike Brown, military family kid, bounced around the States, Japan, Germany, graduates from Würzburg American High School, then lands at the University of San Diego with a business degree. Not a pedigree prince, an absolute grinder. Starts in the damn video room in Denver, splicing tape, meets his future wife Carolyn, and learns how to turn film into a plan. Honestly, that's the modern coach origin story done right. He gets on the bench in Washington under Bernie Bickerstaff. Then Greg Popovich brings him to San Antonio in 2000. That's a PhD in accountability. He picked up a ring in 2003. Rick Carlisle taps him as associate head coach with the Pacers after that. They make deep playoff runs. And in the middle of the infamous Palace Brawl, he's the one sprinting into the stands after Ron Artest to keep things from turning totally apocalyptic. Calm in chaos. That tells you something. Cleveland calls in 2005. He's the second youngest head coach in the league. Year one, 50 wins, playoffs, structure. 2 years later, June 2007, he's leading the Cavs to their first ever finals. They get swept by the Spurs, sure, but getting there matters. Then 2009 happens. 66 wins, coach of the year, all-star coach. Defense organized like a military drill. Roles crystal clear, LeBron rampaging through the East. That's not luck, that's a blueprint. Then the cruel part of the story. Another monster year in 2010. 61 wins, top seed, but the Celtics knock them out in the semis. First team in NBA history to win 60 in back-to-back seasons and not make the finals. And May 2010, Dan Gilbert fires him. The timing is a neon sign. LeBron's free agency is looming. Some reporting and a lot of league chatter linked the move to trying to lure LeBron back. But let's be fair, motives in these boardrooms are always murky. Teams don't publish their decision matrix. Undeterred, he lands with the Lakers in 2011 and inherits the post-Phil Jackson circus during a lockout season. Second round exit. Then comes 2012 and the super team experiment. Steve Nash, Dwight Howard, Kobe Bryant, Pau Gasol, meta world peace. 33 combined all-star nods and zero continuity. Brown installs a Princeton-style offense. Nash's body betrays him. Dwight's rehabbing a back. Kobe's playing through pain. The team goes 0-8 in preseason, starts 1-4 in the regular season, and in early November, just five games in, he gets axed. Third fastest coaching change in NBA history. Bloody hell. Cleveland brings him back in 2013, then punts him again in 2014. So he retools, and Golden State hires him as an assistant in 2016. When Steve Kerr's out with back issues in the 2017 playoffs, Brown runs a perfect 12-0. Warriors finish 16-1 and win the title. They repeat in 2018, and another ring follows in 2022. Meanwhile, he's coaching Nigeria's national team, navigating FIBA weirdness and shorter prep. That's range, mate. Sacramento hires him in May 2022. To be fair, that place was a graveyard for optimism. He snaps a 17-year playoff drought in year one, 48 wins. Unanimous Coach of the Year in 2023. The first ever unanimous vote. Respect where it's due. Then, in December 2024, the Kings blow a 10-point lead to Detroit at home. Jaden Ivey hits a 4-point play on a De'Aaron Fox foul in the final seconds, and the next day, it's see you later. 13-18 start, gone. Unbelievable, but not surprising. And because the league is a carousel, July 2025, the New York Knicks hire him. Boom! First finals appearance for the Knicks in 27 years. Talk about whiplash. 1 month you're the problem, the next you're the solution. That's this business in a nutshell. So the question becomes, why was Mike Brown really fired by Cleveland in 2010? My stance, and you can yell at me in the comments if you want, he was scapegoated. Full stop. Reason number one. Back-to-back 60-win seasons should buy you patience, not a pink slip. If you're that good from October to April, you don't toss the architect because two hot weeks from the Celtics turn the bracket on its head. Reason number two. LeBron's free agency was the sun everything orbited. Owners panic when a supernova might walk. You start doing theatre, symbolic moves to signal change. Whether it was directly to appease LeBron or a broader reset, that urgency clouded judgment. And reason number three. The NBA's cutthroat nature prioritizes star appeasement over coaching continuity. You can preach process all day, but when the billboard is a face, not a scheme, the first head on the block is the coach. I don't have the team's internal emails, but I don't need them to see the pattern. Before the stat nerds flood my inbox, yes, playoff shortcomings matter. Yes, adjustments matter. But look at the larger arc. Brown's defenses travel. His teams get organized. Spurs pedigree, Carlisle structure, Kerr collaboration. He can coach your stars, your role guys, your youth projects, your national team in a FIBA sprint. And every time he's tossed under the bus, he pops up somewhere else and wins. That's not accidental. That's competence surviving chaos. Personal note, because this one hits a nerve. I once got yanked from a radio gig while sitting on top ratings. Management said, and I quote, "We need to shake things up." Translation, a consultant with a spreadsheet got bored. They didn't care that the phones were jammed or the sponsors were happy. They wanted a new toy. I packed my box, walked out, and the next morning the same station ran a promo bragging about innovation. Mate, I nearly choked on my coffee. That wasn't innovation. That was panic wearing lipstick. So when I see Brown go from Cleveland hero to fall guy, from Lakers scapegoat to Warriors tactician, from Kings saviour to December scapegoat again, and then straight to the Knicks' first finals in nearly three decades, I know this dance. This industry loves to blame the person with a whistle because it's easier than building a backbone. I shouldn't have to say this, but here we are. Grow a spine, owners. Trust a system longer than five games. Stop pretending one loss in late December rewrites a man's resume. Mike Brown's not perfect. No coach is. But he's a hell of a lot closer to mastermind than mistake. His teams hang their hat on defense. His prep is meticulous. His locker rooms get rules. And when you give him time, he delivers. You don't luck into a 66-win season, a 12-0 playoff stretch while the head coach is out, a unanimous coach of the year, and a drought-snapping playoff run. That's craft. That's results. And when you axe that just to look decisive, that's bullshit. To the folks who disagree, my lines are open. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me wins don't matter if they're not on a parade route. But don't come at me with vibes and PR speak. Bring evidence. Otherwise, call me when people grow a spine. Because I've had it with this fucking nonsense. This revolving door of scapegoats and the delusion that panic equals leadership. It doesn't. It's just dressing fear up in a suit and calling it a strategy. All right, that's all I got. Go do something useful, keep your standards high, and tune back in tomorrow for more truth bombs. And to Mike Brown, respect where it's due. Keep proving them wrong, mate. That's what I'm talking about.